The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation. Let me tell you something, G, though. You out here talking about a click. Only click you need to know about is the Harley and Sickness Chair. See, because what you're dealing with here is the brotherhood. It's nonstop from this point on. And WCW, we take what we want. And after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
Naomi's wearing Lacey's hat, just dancing around the ring. It's great.
Well, I'm glad that the people told them that they needed to give her her shine.
Yep. We're going to talk about how Booker T is the ops. We just got to do it.
Well.
Customers.
This is the time. Go ahead.
Booker T is the goddamn ops, and I'm so angry. Like, every time, like, it's about, like, a black woman, all this stuff, he's just, like, I don't know why he goes out of his way to dismiss it. It's, like, nobody's saying, hand Naomi, and we're saying she deserved it because she's been here for 10-plus years. She has the charisma. She has the talent. She has a gimmick. She's marketable. She has it. WWE has failed her. He's saying you have to go out in the ring and you have to make something of yourself and you got to create your moments. She's created moments. Mm-hmm. Every time she's in a match, who they talk about? Naomi. Every time, like, they go viral, she goes viral all the time. Even people who don't watch wrestling are like, wait, who is this? Who is this person? Who's that? Who's that? She's made her moments. She hasn't failed anything. WWE has failed to capitalize on her. They failed to book her, and that's what I don't know what's not clicking with him. But then again, he loves Vince McMahon call him the N-word on TV, so, like, I guess that's fine. Like, he's the goddamn ops, and it pissed me off. I was like, really? Really? Okay. Like, bye. Goodbye. You can leave.
Yeah, I don't know what his problem is either, because, like you said, she has definitely earned her spot, made her moments, WrestleMania moments, got hurt, came back, got the belt back. The GLOW title alone is a moment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's
been in this company, like, longer than, like, Lita and Trish were when they got all their accolades. And, like, Trish is my absolute favorite. Like, she's my favorite wrestler. But, like, where she was when she first started, where Naomi is, like, it's not comparable. Sorry, it just isn't. But you're not giving her the opportunity. But you're going to get fucking Lego Evans, all these things. Really? The bitch that moves like a Lego block? She's the one. Okay. Sure. the disrespect.
And that's the reason why she was trending last week.
Mm-hmm. 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Because the wrestling fans know you can't pull the wool over their eyes.
Yep.
So, I've been waiting for you to finally just let loose on one of these. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, it just pisses me off.
I know.
Don't tell people to make their moments, and the fans have to get behind you. You have to get yourself over. She's got herself over. That pop at the Royal Rumble? What was, did you not hear? Did you not hear that pop? It's like, fan movements is why, like, a lot of these stars have gone. Daniel Bryan with the Yes Movement, because the fans got behind him. Becky Lynch with the man, because the fans got behind it. Give Divas a chance to start this whole women's revolution that they're acting like, that just started, like, with the Four Horsewomen, who I love, but it's not, it's because the Give Divas a Chance started. Because that hashtag, so, like, bruh, shut up. Like, like, this is, if there was Twitter back in the fucking 90s and shit, like, it would be the same thing. It's just that there's Twitter now, and so that's what we use to gauge fan support. Duh. God damn it. Ooh. The ops. I hate it. It makes me so mad. I could go on for like 20 minutes, so I won't. But just know I could.
That would be a perfect lead-in to the regularly scheduled program known as The Dark Match.
Hey.
We're going to talk about...
Start off with the rant.
We're going to talk about AEW Dynamite because this week we get straight to the action with Cody. His opponent is none other than Mr. Eddie Kingston. And they gave this man. he's been well traveled. He was okay. In TNA. He was in NWA. He was in Ring of Honor. Yeah, he's been through. He used to be Santana and Ortiz's manager.
Oh, okay, okay.
So Eddie Kingston comes out. He comes out. Calls Arn, it used to be legend that he grew up and that he grew up around alcoholics and junkies. He said he had to survive and grind, and Cody couldn't last a day in his shoes. So don't tell him
I got dark real quick.
Anything about grinding. He said the sport of pro wrestling is a joke. Everyone that Cody has faced has been a child. He says he's a grown man and he will put Cody in the ground and smile. Here's the best part. Tony Khan paid Eddie to show up, and now he's going to pay him to kick Cody's ass. He then tells Arn that if he doesn't shut up, he's going to gouge Arn's eyeballs out.
Jeez.
He says this is his time now. Tony Khan said to him, if he wants a no DQ match, that's fine, but Cody has to accept. Cody takes the bait, and we have our match. Cody Rhodes versus Eddie Kingston for the TNT title. Before we get into the match, I'd just like to get your thoughts on your first experience with Mr. Eddie Kingston.
He was talking shit, and I was like, okay, let's do it. It got dark real quick. He was just like, I'm abusers and alcoholics. And I was just like, oh no. So dark. But I was here for all the shit talking, especially when he threatened Arn Anderson. I was like, well, what Arn do? He didn't do anything. I didn't know who he was. I was like, well, who this man? I'm just screaming. You don't know who this. I was just like, I don't know him. I'm sorry. Who is it? Because I didn't really hear what, like, the name. I don't know. Like, it was kind of like mumbled. So I was like, I don't know who this man is. And they're like, the Kingston. I was just like, I don't know. The only Kingston I know is Kofi. Who is it? So, but I liked him so far. You know, I love a good shit talking. I was here
for it. Yeah, Eddie Kingston's one of the best. Definitely a risk for TNT. He's even a risk for YouTube.
Yeah, really?
So, Eddie Kingston in this match looks like he hurts his knee.
Yeah.
And Cody is taking advantage of that. But Eddie finally gains up some offense, and he rolls out of the ring and grabs a bag, and he empties the bag into the ring, and it's a bag of thumbtacks. Eddie Kingston locks up for a powerbomb. He powerbombs Cody into the thumbtacks. Cody gets up. He's got thumbtacks all on him. Looks like a pincushion. Then he just like fires up, I guess, through the pain and adrenaline, and he starts hitting Eddie with palm strikes. He slaps on the figure four. He leverages up on the hold. Eddie Kingston taps, and Cody retained his TNT title.
Ooh, all that shit talking ain't got you nowhere, though. But I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed the hell of that match. But when them thumbtacks, I was just like, where are we right now? I was like, you can't start off with thumbtacks, guys. Like, goddamn. Why does Cody love being spanked on TV all the time? Like, this is another one. It was just like, again, Cody. And then my friend was like, and then he's always holding up his pants like he didn't just take off his belt. I'm like, exactly. You just took off your belt and threw it into the audience, sir. And you're pulling your pants up like those guys who have, like, their pants halfway down their ass and then are, like, pulling it up. Why? You should have wore a belt. You had one. You threw it into the audience. And now look where we are. Look where we are, Cody. Thanked on TV.
What I liked about this match was this was a fight, and I haven't really seen Cody in a fight before.
I enjoyed it. I love brawls. So I was just like, y'all better scrap. Yes. As soon as they started really just like scrapping, I was like, yep, let's do it. Let's go.
It's very interesting to see Arn Anderson's reaction on the outside. He has been pretty good with his facial expressions.
Just stressed.
Totally.
Stressed out.
Totally, totally. Your boy, mm-hmm. Moxley, mm-hmm. promo. He says he prides himself on keeping it real. When he tells us he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Like when he told Taz that he was going to try and rip Brian Cage's arm and his bicep off the bone. He says he did. And he says he's going to give Taz the Manager of the Year award because Brian Cage was this close to 6 months off due to another biceps injury. He said, Taz, you made the right call. He tells Cage that next time he won't let go when he feels the tendons in the biceps stretching and ripping.
Ooh. Mox said, I'm going to fuck up your arm. Don't test me.
John Moxley doing the one thing he always loves to do, cut promo.
Yep. Yep. He's great at it.
That was very good. In the ring, we have a enhancement talent, a jobber, if you will. MJF says he's jacked and tan and ready to go, but he seems nervous, and he should be, because this jobber is in the ring with a prodigy. He says he'll give this guy an opportunity of a lifetime. He calls him Jungle Man. Get it?
Yeah. Because he sure enough looks like Tarzan. I was like, see? TNT does love Tarzan. Now they got him on AEW.
And now Griff Garrison is the young man's name. He takes offense, and MJF begins to mock him. MJF makes fun of his Ivy League MVP moniker and says he looks like he couldn't graduate finger painting class. He asks, how cool is it to share the ring with someone who is undefeated like him? Garrison brings up his loss at Fyter Fest. MJF then clocks him with the mic, and the bell rings. How dare you say that MJF lost a match?
I mean, he did.
What?
He did.
I have no recollection of that, man.
Listen, you stand.
I don't remember anything of such. We have MJF versus Griff Garrison. MJF wants Griff to tell everyone at home that he's undefeated. Griff smacks him and says no. So MJF stomps him, and then he stomps on his hand. He wants Griff to say it. So Griff screams as he steps and stomps on his hand again. MJF says, no, that's not what he asked him to say. Then he begins to choke Griff, and he screams in his face, and he asks him to say it. And Griff finally says that MJF is undefeated. Why was that so hard? MJF says, that wasn't bad. But Griff pokes him in the eye and then rolls MJF up for a two count. We get a clothesline from MJF, hits him with a couple of right hands, and then he sends Griff to the apron, and he hits the Heat Seeker, the draping pile driver off the middle rope, and he gets the win. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, not Tarzan tried, but
the real inside joke is the Young Bucks use him on BTE. And he's like the adult version of Jungle Boy.
That's hilarious. I haven't watched BTE in a while, so I haven't caught that. That's funny.
Backstage, our fave, Rebel, is getting ready to explain to Tony exactly how to say her name. When Britt Baker wants to talk about her recent nose surgery and being a role model, she says she is the face of the division. She talks about her fragile, fractured nose being taken advantage of. Reba flips the chart. It says, rule number 4, never count out a role model. Britt calls this temporary, and she is set for the biggest comeback of all time. Tony interrupts her, but he gets shut down. And then Britt tells them both to shut the hell up and suck it up. She calls herself Michael Jordan. She says this is going to be the greatest comeback, and don't count her out particularly at All Out.
Tony's sick of her shit. It's so funny. He's like, wait, but Michael Jordan, the Wizards, that wasn't a good comeback. She's like, shut up. I'm Michael Jordan. I was like, oh, Britt, I don't watch sports, and even I knew that. And I know nothing about sports.
Britt Baker continues to make the most of her TV time.
Right.
Whenever they're job. In front of something. Reba, whatever her name is. It's great. The moment Tony Schiavone, they have really great chemistry, the three of them.
Yeah.
And you add Big Swole in there, too. So, yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Come All Out.
Can't wait.
Brian Cage's music hits. Comes out with Taz. He says he and Cage had a lot of heated discussions. He says Cage was pretty close to firing him, but cooler heads prevailed. He explained why he tossed the towel in, costing Brian Cage the title. He realized that the longer Moxley had that legit armbar on the surgically repaired bicep, the worse it was going to get. Taz would be damned if Cage's bicep was going to be torn a second time. He says he stands behind what he did as a business decision because he can assure any other wrestler in the world that Cage will never be in that position again. Ever, never, ever. Cage would never tap. He didn't tap. He's not wired to tap, and that's why he's the FTW champ, because he has an FTW mindset. No surrender, no quit. That was really good.
It was really good.
It was a legit reason to throw the towel in. It expressed Brian Cage's frustration, but then at the same time, he was looking out for his guy. So,
It made it like Brian Cage wasn't the one who tapped. He got the towel thrown in for him, so it's like he didn't give up.
Right.
So it still keeps him strong.
Here comes your boy.
Yeah, buddy.
Darby Allin is back, and he wants him some Brian Cage. But out from the blind side comes Ricky Starks. He attacks Darby from behind. Then out comes Brian Cage. He power bombs Darby on the stage, and then he power bombs Darby into the ring. I thought you were weren't gonna make it there for a second.
I wasn't. I was like, he just came back. Stop. It was so much. My heart couldn't take it.
Ricky Starks hits his finishing move in his cool little dress slippers. And then he pulls Darby up after grabbing the skateboard. Brian Cage is looking to just do devilish and devious things with that skateboard to Darby Allin. And here comes Jon Moxley with the barbed wire bat to make the save.
Thank God. I was like, yay! Save him! Please, he's so fragile.
He's AEW's version of Sasha Banks, Finn Balor, whoever you want to put in that role.
Oh my God. He's like freaking Shane, how Shane always just likes to dive off hot shit just for no damn reason. Darby Allin, let's just jump off things. No. You're delicate. Stay on the ground.
Exactly.
You're going to get broken.
So we are informed that AEW will be having a women's tag team tournament this summer.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be 16 teams, and I don't know if it's going to be double elimination or how they're going to play it, but yeah, it'll be very good to showcase the ladies' division, some up-and-comers, some new signees, international talents.
Let's give some solid women's tag teams. I want them solid. They're actually tag teams, not two people thrown together just for the funsies. But I'm excited. It's like you're combining my two favorite things about wrestling, ladies and tag teams. Great.
Well, we're about to talk about a tag team match in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Backstage, Chris Jericho is with his peoples. He asks, what color is his jacket? It's orange. But it's supposed to be white, and it cost him $7,000, and that was ruined, just ruined, because of Orange Cassidy. So now he will ruin his career. He says he's going to embarrass him, but tonight, the Inner Circle was going to embarrass the Jurassic Express. He says Marco Stunt called him an idiot. Well, what makes Jericho laugh is Stunt's bullet head and the fact that Luchasaurus isn't really a dinosaur, and tonight they will make him extinct. Jericho asks, do I still smell like orange juice? Santana's like, yeah. And he walks off all mad. And then Jake Hager was like, come on, man. Why you got to set him up? Like, you want me to lie to him?
That was my favorite part. Oh, I laughed so hard. Santana is, like, underrated with, like, his comedic timing. Because he's, like, really dry and, like, serious. But, like, every time he was just like, yeah, what, do you want me to lie to him? It's like, oh, my God. Hilarious.
The Young Bucks, they're looking for the Butcher and the Blade. They're in the kitchen doing Butcher and the Blade things. And by that, I mean cutting meat. But they do wash their hands before they start the match.
It doesn't matter. They threw their sweaty bodies all over the food. Contaminated. Guys.
You know, I have just like the closing segments of this match. There's a lot of highlights, a lot of spectacular moves. Like, I guess that was Matt who did the running senton off the back of the 18-wheeler. After Nick got thrown into his own face.
Right. That's disrespectful. How you gonna run me into a picture of me? Rude.
The Blade had a heck of a botch that he kind of saved.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So there's just a lot of wild just chaos in this match. Because it was Falls Count Anywhere. So the Young Bucks set the Blade up on the table. Butcher is slow to stand up. They give him a super kick, the double super kick. So both Blade and Butcher are now on the tables. Both members of the Young Bucks climb up the tress over the entrance ways. They stare each other down. They fly off the entrance circles. And I can't forget which did which, but one did a senton. Once the other one did an elbow drop. Double pin. 1, 2, 3. And the Young Bucks win a hellacious match. This was
crazy. That was one wild ride.
Yeah, that recap does not do that match any justice.
Yeah, just go watch it. Just know there are moments where somebody ran into a picture of themselves. They smacked each other with ground beef. Yo, so I don't know. Was it the Butcher or the Blade who hit his head square on that table?
That was the Blade.
Ooh. And then when he smacked him in the head with the chair, so much happened. It was so much. And it was so good. Ooh. Enjoyed every second of it. I did.
Backstage.
I know people have their things with like the Young Bucks, but like, listen, they're good.
They're good at what they do. You're right.
Yeah.
Backstage, Mr. Lance Archer. He grabs Mr. AEW interviewer Alex Marvez. He says he got a question. So Archer just takes him into the locker room. And then Lance Archer just starts beating up these poor guys who were there to try to make a living, a quick $100 or so. Jake is cutting a promo about Archer just being sick and tired. And that sooner or later, somebody's going to step up and fight him. He says they are sick and tired. And then Archer is just destroying these guys in the background. He threw like one of the dudes into like the recessed ceiling, and then it ended up with him dumping a kid in the trash can.
Like, he thinks he's fighting in a Looney Tunes cartoon, sir. Into the ceiling, in the garbage. Excuse me. They have livelihoods. You can't just break all their bones.
Grade A way to keep him looking impressive.
Right. Like, good Lord.
Ladies action time, because it's Diamante versus Ivelisse. Diamante looks like she's going for a crossroads, but Ivelisse turns it into a powerbomb for a pin for the 1-2, but it's just a near fall. Ivelisse hits the ropes. Diamante is right behind her. She sets her up inside the inside cradle, and Diamante gets the win over Ivelisse.
This was such a good match. Like, for a second, I was like, yo, do these two real life hate each other? Because they're hitting hella hard. like they're just like scrapping, like just blows. It was like really grounded and intense and hard hitting, and I love that. But AEW, don't you ever put a promo in the middle of a match? What was that? Let Big Swole have her own segment. Let this match be its own thing. Like those two had no correlation. Mm-hmm. Why did you just stick that right in there? Like, what do you know?
You could have played that right after the, like,
the Rebel. Yeah.
Like,
why did you put this here? Why did you picture this? What is happening?
Yeah, that was not good. Because it took away from it took away from that match a little bit, and it took away from Big Swole as well.
Yeah. It's like it didn't help anybody in this match.
Mm-hmm.
But the match itself was really good.
Allen Angels, a.k.a. number 5 of the Dark Order, is taking on Hangman Adam Page. We get a clothesline from Adam Page. Page rushes the corner. He stops a boot, and then he hits a hard clothesline. He drags Angel out of the corner and hits another follow-away slam. We get a kip-up from Adam Page. He waits. He hits the hard rolling elbow, and he gets the 1-2-0. It's a 3 count. Looks like he's going to kick out, but he does get the win. So, during the match, members of the Dark Order came out, so it was like 4-1.
Yeah.
Based on the people on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Page says Dark Order can come on down, get in the ring.
Yep.
Mr. Brody Lee and Colt Cabana come out. Brody Lee gets in the ring. He says that he's impressed by Adam Page, but what he is not impressed by is his lack of friends and tag team partner when he clearly is in immediate danger. Lee says he is not here to hit him, but he wants to offer him the Dark Order's protection, and they would never leave him alone. That's what they are here to offer Adam Page.
Now listen to him.
Page grabs the mic. He says he appreciates the compliments and all and the offer, but to be honest, he says he isn't ready to join a cult right now. Well, Brody Lee tells that cowboy that he made his bed, and Lee hopes that he enjoys sleeping in it. So Brody Lee grabs Colt and walks him to the backstage area as the rest of the Dark Order enter the ring. So it's 4-on-1. Adam Page trying to defend off these Dark Order guys. So he attacks first. He's trying to get Lakes in before the Dark Order can stomp him out. That's when FTR come down. They got a beer cooler. They toss it into the ring. They're attacking the Dark Order. FTR makes short work of the Dark Order. Omega then comes out a little on the late side. And FTR has already had things handled. They shake the hand of Page and offer him a beer. And they definitely are ignoring Kenny Omega.
Yep. Then I was just like, you're mighty late there, Kenneth. Took you a while to come help out your partner. Why didn't you come out sooner to support him when you know he was against the Dark Order? Because you know they got numbers. Shameful. My favorite part of that match was like right after Paige like chopped Five. Is that his name?
Yep.
He was just like, hold still, buddy. And then he like chopped him again. I was like, oh no. And then at one point he's like, when he went to powerbomb him, he like picked that man up like a baby. Woo! It was great.
So
I was sure if I was going to get jumped. I was just like, ooh, if he loses, they're going to jump him. Nope.
I like the way they did it with the, you know, just bringing more attention to the underlying tension between Hangman and Kenny.
Yep.
Now FTR
FTR
slid in and tried to, you know, been like drinking buddies with him the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Gaining his trust.
There's a faction a coming. I feel it. Wake up of one and a build up of another. Sowing the seed. I'm into it.
Jurassic Express in the form of Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. They're in the main event against the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. So Jungle Boy hits a flying forearm and he sends Jake Hager to the outside. We get Marco stunt behind the ref's back. He hits a missile drop kick to Chris Jericho. Luchasaurus then hits a super kick to Jericho's face. Santana and Ortiz get up on the ring apron to distract the referee. When he turns back around, Luchasaurus is only to get a two count. We get a tackle from Luchasaurus. We get a spinning kick to the side of Jericho's head and another cover for another two count. Luchasaurus says this is it. He's going to finish Jericho. Santana is back on the apron. Luchasaurus sends Jungle Boy into Santana, who does a Hurricane Rana on Santana into Ortiz. Yeah, that was sick.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus gets backed into the ropes, and Serpentico hits him with the baseball bat. And we get a code breaker when he comes off the ropes by Jericho, and that gets the pin. One, two, three. So first, before we talk about the end of the night, let's talk about what you thought about the match.
Yo, Jungle Boy, I can't wait for this boy to be a champion. He is so, so good. The most interesting parts of the match was when he was there, when it was mostly him and Jericho. I was like, give me more. Give me more of this. It was great.
Yeah, they cut the ring off, Jericho and Hager, using good tag team tactics, and really had Jungle Boy fighting for his life in there.
Right. I was like, get to the ropes, Jungle Boy, get to the ropes. Great story, pal. And, you know, every time freaking Jericho got in Aubrey's face, and Aubrey was like, back up. Back up. I was like, you go, Aubrey. Tell him.
Aubrey's a real one.
I love her. She's great.
So Serpentico, he starts joining the inner circle to attack Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. Then in comes Marco Stunt, and man, he got obliterated.
Oof.
So Serpentico is up on the top rope. Luchasaurus is laid out. We get a shooting star press onto Luchasaurus. Then Serpentico stands above Luchasaurus, and he removes his mask to reveal it's Sammy Guevara. So the inner circle all attack Jurassic Express with stomps until Orange Cassidy slowly walks out. He comes out with his friends. They run into the ring, sending the inner circle running. And next week, we've got a mat signed. It's a 10-man tag. It's the inner circle against Orange Cassidy, best friends, Chuck, and Taylor, and the two kids who were just in the ring right there, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy.
The two kids. As soon as his ass came up on that, I was just like, that's Sammy Guevara. I was like, if that's Sammy Guevara in a mask. And as soon as I hit send tweet, he did that like flip thing, that I was just like, oh, well, there goes that.
Yeah, knew exactly who that was.
Yep. I guess. Still looking at him sideways. Even though he put out that statement of, I've grown, blah, 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 you were still liking tweets of people saying, why are people so mad at Sammy Guevara? He didn't actually mean it. People are so sensitive. And I was just like, okay, but you grew? You're liking tweets like that, but you grew? Okay. So, I'm still like, looking at you sideways.
Yeah, definitely could have been a couple more months longer.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was, like, exactly 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So.
When the training was over?
Mm-hmm.
Fitting.
Yeah. Very, like, oh, okay.
Fitting. Very fitting. Was there anything else that you'd like to add about this week, your overall rating of this week's dark match?
AEW was really good this week. I enjoyed the matches. I'm excited about this this ladies tag team cup thing. We'll see what that does. Let's see more Eddie Kingston, because he was really good. I like his shit talking. So I want to see more of that. And Diamante and Ivelisse was really, really good. That was one of my favorite matches so far for like the women on AEW. I'm excited.
Yeah, this was definitely a really good show. That tag team Falls Count Anywhere match was wild.
Yeah.
Wild and reckless. Like you said, Ivelisse and Diamante was really good. Eddie Kingston stood out, open mic, challenging Cody. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff to check out on this past week's Dynamite. So, continue to you know, subscribe, patrons, listen to the show. We definitely appreciate it. Miss Simi, any closing comments?
You watched Extreme Rules, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like, that damn swamp fight match. What the hell was that shit? It was so dumb and convoluted, and it wasted my goddamn time. Like, no, what was that?
No go for you, huh?
No, it was so dumb. And usually I like these cinematic, like, matches and, like, things like that, but it's just, like, they were trying to do too much. It was just like, no. What you should have done was actually build up this Bray trying to bring Braun back to his side for, like, at least 2 months. Like, give it time to build up, and then you go to the swamp fight thing and just have them actually fight in the swamp. Not this weird, he's on drugs, I guess, he gets knocked out, he's tied up. Is it his imagination? Is it real? Fucking Alexa Bliss is here. Is it Sister Abigail? There was not one gator that I saw eat somebody. Like, what was this? I hated it. Why was that the main event? Like, it should have been, like, the New Day and Nakamura and them that should have closed the show. Any of the ladies' matches could have closed that show. Not that shit. I hated it. Even Drew and, oh, what's his face? The blonde one. Dolph. Yeah, that could have closed the show. But not this small fight. It was dumb. What happened? I didn't get it. I hated it. I just needed to say that. Get it off my chest. Because I was like, I'm going to watch Extreme Rules and just see and, like, look at this, like, cinematic stuff, because I've been liking what they're doing with this quarantine. I watched it and I was like, this was dumb. This was a waste of my time. Why is this happening? I hated it. But that Asuka and Sasha match, woo! So many gems. So many gems. And I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I love the storyline.
Bayley and Nikki Cross was really good as well.
Yeah, I was surprised because I'm like, on Nikki. So, but I was just like, woo. So that was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it.
All right.
Except that last one. That last match was dumb. But the rest of the show was really good. And I'm happy for Cesaro and Nakamura and them.
Yeah, they deserve to represent and have a title for a little while.
Yeah. I want to see a good feud. Maybe we'll get Heel New Day back.
Maybe.
I want it. And I know they want it too. They always talk about how they miss being heels.
You have more fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been fun. And until next week, patrons, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. And for my co-host, Miss Simi, thank you for listening to this week's edition of The Dark Match.
Bye-bye. Don't listen to Booker T.
So you watched the Slammiversary there? You took a trip down the TNA lane?
Yeah, I went down to Nashville.
Okay.
Via the internet.
Okay.
And, you know, this, you know, since it was a wrestling weekend, just gave it a little watch. You had the Rascals, a young tag team there. I didn't know who they was. I was just like, I read the dirt sheet. I'm like, okay, a new tag team. It's actually a trio, but these two guys had did an open challenge. And Motor City Machine Guns answered the challenge.
Oh, the real Motor City Machine Guns? Or Chris Sabian and Ally Shelley, for real?
Yeah, those two.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, so.
Throwback.
Right. And they wanted, and so the Motor City Machine Guns, they won. They were back there. It's like, it took them a minute to get together, but they got back to their original form and everything. And, you know, just the throwback tag team that went in the TNA Impact. I was like, oh, man, it was a pretty good match.
That's the golden era Impact right there, Motor City Machine Guns.
For real. And it was crazy. It was like, wow, like, Alex Shelley, you know, did an NXT match with tag team match with Kushida.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here he's doing Slammiversary with Chris Sabin. So,
mm-hmm. You know. He also did New Japan with Kushida, right, too.
when we saw they was talking about like this recently and everything, like in the county did this, you know, like it was just those two, he reunited those two teams and everything just for like that short time. Moose, he is that they doing the whole self-proclaimed TNA Heavyweight Championship, so he got he's turning that belt around, kind of like what MVP is doing on Monday Night Raw and everything.
Okay.
So Tommy Dreamer challenged him, and Moose got to pick up the win there.
Tommy Dreamer, huh?
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer.
This is WCW 1999 all over again, huh?
Right. Yeah, so Tommy Dreamer answered the challenge, and you know, Tommy Dreamer, you know, did this whole spear with the weapons and everything, and Moose picked up the win. Moose even did a hit a rock bottom at one point of the at one point in the match, and the Rock reacted to it on social media. So it was a gauntlet's knockout, a knockouts gauntlet match that featured, you know, who's who. I was kind of happy to see Kiara Hogan. I know a lot of the our wrestling bays don't like her because when Sammy Guevara was kind of clown Sasha Banks saying she looked like Ricochet, she was kicking in the tweets and everything. So I like Kiara because Kiara's just a great talent, you know, but she's not getting her.
Mm-hmm. She's kind of on that hole. I know what you like about Kiara Hogan. Mm-hmm.
You know what?
The same thing you like about Naomi.
Hold on, it's another girl. Tasha Steeles, I believe, is another young.
Oh yeah, she was on NWA. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so she was like she was out there, and there was a couple of ladies that came out there, but the winner was Kylie Rae.
What? So they just jacked all the people from NWA. So I guess NWA must not be getting ready to come back because they've been rumors about it, but see, that's a smart thing that Impact did though. They let their people go wherever. It's like, if you want to wrestle in Japan, go. If you want to show up in NWA, go. They don't hold them to the thing because in the end, it's promotion for them because they gotta, you know, eventually they hope that the other promotion is gonna, you know, say their name at least once.
Right. So then after that, he's going by Heath Miller. I guess he's going by Heath Miller now, but. He came out there, had his free agent shirt
AKA
on.
AKA Heath Slater?
Yeah, AKA Heath Slater.
Okay.
Came out there, free agent shirt on, saying he wanted to get to the main event, which was the postman, the four-way. He wanted to get to that, but then he got interrupted by Rohit Rahul, some guy who was like a comedy guy there, kind of like how he was in WWE when he was doing the Legends gimmick.
Right.
When he was talking about the Legends and everything. So he came out there and he fought and he kind of threw him out the ring and everything. He went backstage, chopped up with Rhino. And so Don West, I guess that's the guy who used to be,
Scott D'Amore?
Yeah, that guy. He was backstage too. He was like, yeah, he was like, I understand. He said, but you said out there you was a free agent and with the pandemic going on, this is a closed set, so we can't have you back here. And so he had to leave. So Rhino said, hey, just come by Tuesday, let me know when you're here, and I'll pull some strings for you. So
that's what's up. That's kind of cool, playing off of their past relationship.
He was like, he even said, and he said, say hi to the kids for me. That's great. So next match was Willie Mack. Now, if you remember him from Lucha Underground.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. The one guy's Hunter missed out on.
Right.
He was the X-Men. Imagine Willie Mack in NXT, the golden era NXT with Kevin Owens and Finn and all them.
I would have loved that. He would have went. He went up against Chris Bay. Chris Bay was challenging him for the X Division Championship. And Chris Bay won.
What?
I was actually surprised at how good Chris Bay was in the ring, 24 years old. Pretty good in-ring. He has some upside with him. So, you know, keep your eyes out for him in the future. If he ever leaves Impact and go elsewhere, he's going to be a major player. Yeah, he beat Willie Mack for the X Division Championship.
Okay.
The North, they are apparently on the long running. They have the Impact Tag Team titles for over a year. So they were challenged by Sami Callihan and Ken Shamrock. And
that is a bizarro world tag team.
Oh my goodness. And it was like they was in, you know, they was had the whole issues and everything. And so it kind of messed them up in the end. I think Shamrock had the pin and Chris Sabian got pushed onto him. You know, he got upset. He was like, he pushed me. You know how that whole why you bumped me and everything. He was like, the guy pushed me and blah, 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 blah. The North picked up the win, got on the mic and was saying, you know, we've held these titles for over a year and we're like the best tag team and Impact and nobody, you know, it's basically they the best.
Right.
North City Machine Guns came out and said, you know, hey, you know, we better say you hold held them titles for a year. So this Tuesday on Impact, we're going to challenge you for them titles. So that match is going to happen sometime tonight on Impact.
So, I don't even know what channel they're on anymore.
AXSTV, that's the channel you Japan used to come on.
Oh, Access. They're on Access.
Yeah.
Okay.
Access TV.
Yeah, that's right, because their Anthem bought Access. That's right.
Right. Yeah, so that's where they at. So.
They was like, man, we can't get no deal. We'll just buy a whole station.
Right. And we'll kick off the and we'll have the other wrestling organization leave from that channel too. So then we had the Impact Knockout Championship. Jordynne Grace took on Deonna Purrazzo of NXT fame. And Deonna Purrazzo won.
Jordynne Grace of NXT Mae Young Classic fame.
Oh, yeah, she was the Mae Young Classic years ago.
Yeah.
I was hoping she would have got.
Because everybody was hoping that they would sign her because, you know, she didn't have a diva look. She's got, you know, a different look than everybody.
Yeah, but she, Deonna Purrazzo won, had a double armbar submission.
Young Deonna, shout out to Miss Didi Jonet, her protege, got the win. Nice.
Yeah, so she got that win there. Main event, it was Ace Austin. Now he was being backed by Madman Fulton, who was in Sanity. During the NXT days, Fulton Sawyer.
Okay, yeah, I remember him. Okay.
Yeah, so he's running with Ace Austin versus Trey. Trey's the third guy from the Rascals. He was in the main event. Another young guy who has some upside with him,
This too. Was like the big five-person match for the heavyweight title that Tessa Blanchard was supposed to be in, right?
Right. So it was Ace Austin versus Trey versus Eddie Edwards. So those three were in the ring first, and then out comes Rich Swann.
Oh, Rich homie.
Yeah.
The homie.
So, right. So he kind of, looking back from where he came from, you know, he got released from WWE after that domestic incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he turned up a TNA, and he's been flourishing there. He was injured, but this was his first match back. So then they was about to get ready to get this match started. The next thing you know, the lights went out. And a man appears in a mask, and it's Eric Young. So this is the five-way.
Oh, gosh. Ewa.
Yeah. So, you know, another TNA Impact, you know, legend.
Right.
So it went, Trey was the first eliminated. He actually broke up a pin, and then he ended up getting pinned himself. I was like, you know, you can't do that in an elimination match. You can't do that. Eric Young got pinned by Rich Swann, and then Eric Young kind of snapped back to his old psycho gimmick and went after Rich Swann's knee and kind of, you know, injured the knee again, and Ace Austin got the pin on Rich Swann. So it was down to Eddie Edwards and Ace Austin. Eddie Edwards is your Impact champion.
Oh, went back to the old world that worked before he got his eye almost taken out by Sami Callihan a year and a half ago.
Right. So Eddie Edwards is the Impact champion. He was he was about to celebrate, but then Fulton, Madman Sawyer came out, came back because he got kicked out. he came back down, and they was him and Ace Austin was going to attack. They was attacking Eddie Edwards. Out comes the Good Brothers
to help Eddie Edwards.
Yep.
Interesting.
Nope. So it came out there, and they was like, "Hey, you want a piece of this? You know, he's a champion. You want a piece of this?" And the next thing you know, they attacked. They fought them off and everything. Threw them out the ring, and they had they got their own IPA beers and everything. So they kind of like a la Austin throwing beers in the ring and getting beers tossing them in the ring and everything, and they celebrating. Everybody go off the air. Next thing you know, another a video starts to play, and the guy turns around. It's EC3.
They just signed everybody back to the well, huh?
EC3 is back in Impact Wrestling.
So Eric Young, EC3, Motor City Machine Guns. That's quite a you know.
Yeah, Brazo was there for a while too, and then she left.
That's quite a like reunion they had at Summerversary. Yeah.
It's funny they kept referring to the WWE as the Stanford Supermax. Josh Callis was like, "Yeah, the Stanford Supermax." He said, "Yeah, we got time there, Josh Matthews." Josh Matthews didn't respond. He didn't respond at all.
Oh.
But here's the original plan for the Good Brothers when it came to Impact was. So apparently they were going to pull to attack Tessa Blanchard. So I guess Tessa Blanchard was going to win this four-way originally, and then they was going to post and attack her. So that would have been their introduction to Impact. Was to attack Tessa Blanchard, but things changed. So
speaking of the Good Brothers, they've been making a lot of news this past week since last Friday before they showed up at Slammiversary with their Talking Shop interview, where they basically, you know, the 90 days is up, so now they can do what they want. So they was out here just basically, you know, running down the conversations and, you know, saying that, you know, they beef was with Paul Heyman, not Triple H, because, you know, one day they might want to come back, and the person they might have to deal with to come back at that time will be Triple H. But yeah, they definitely were not very favorable towards Paul Heyman. And then they also talked about the you know, the situation in Saudi Arabia, the Halloween night where none of the performers got back because they were not on the first plane, they were on that second plane that got held. And they talked about how they heard from the production guy that they trust that Vince was like, cut the feed,
right?
Even though they in court now, so all this is eventually going to come out. Even though Vince has been denying that he didn't have nothing to do with it, that it was, you know, some technical issues or something like that. But yeah, about four different people have like confirmed, like, yeah, Vince cut the feed.
Pretty much. And they would say that he was one of the problems, like, I guess in release wise, he was one of the problems over there in Saudi Arabia. Him, Curtis Axel, and there was someone else that they mentioned. I don't know if it was Rusev or something like that. I guess it was like that whole situation over there kind of like rubbed people the wrong way. So that's why they want to know their release.
Mm-hmm.
Their release plane, their release, list of release back in April before WrestleMania and whatnot. So,
well, it kind of like separated the pecking order. You know what I'm saying? It was like it showed people where they stood in the company.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people are like, you got me over here wrestling 330 days a year. Probably not that much anymore, but at least like 300 days a year. Flying everywhere. And this is how you treat me?
Yeah, it was like, they were saying how when they got signed in, it was like they already knew it wasn't what they were expecting. Remember, I seen them at a house show here in Baltimore. They came to WWE, had a house show. It was probably a couple years ago, and they was in like a big eight tag team match and everything. And I was just like, you know, and it was just basically, you know, they were just there. You know, it wasn't really no big. You would think that they getting signed there, they would be that monster tag team because of what they did around the world and everything. But it didn't play out for them that way. So, and the thing was, they was trying to they was doing the whole tour of Japan, and Triple H came and teamed up with them in Japan and everything. And the next thing you know, it was the whole, that's when the whole big contract signage came up, the extension came up. And they signed the contract, and then it was just like, you know, what the hell we doing? You know, Triple H kind of just like threw the money at him and everything, and it was like people backstage was mad because they was getting all that money, but they weren't really doing nothing. But it's just there.
Yeah, and apparently they almost had something worked out with AEW. But at the last minute, they went to listen to the Impact offer, and they were shocked that Impact had money, that much money to give them. So they turned down Tony Khan and went with Impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on Being the Elite, it was funny, the recent episode of Being the Elite, they was on there, and so they kind of played it out like, oh, you know, they was talking to the Young Bucks, but after Young Bucks left, Carl and Doc, they was just sitting there like, they told me they started the company and everything, we about to go to New York, we about to get this big money and everything, and it's only two Pauls that I trust, and even one of them, only two Pauls to be trusted, and even one of them going to do us dirty and nothing like that. And so kind of they was playing like the whole skit of like everything that happened after this like conversation with the Young Bucks and everything. So,
right.
You know, everything happens, and then, you know, when they talk about it, I don't know, this wasn't like when CM Punk broke the internet on Christmas some years ago, and with Colt Cabana and everything, that kind of fucked up their friendship in the end too. But it was a pretty interesting conversation that Good Brothers had, because the thing was, the Good Brothers supposed to be, they was going to be in the inner circle. No, and then the thing was, they were supposed to be, no, if they was going to leave the WWE and go talk to Impact, AEW, but they re-signed with WWE because they was going to join the inner circle. I think we probably wouldn't have gotten Jake Hager if that would have played out.
Or they probably they probably would have still had Hager, they probably wouldn't have had Santana and Ortiz.
Look how things work out.
Yeah.
We get Santana and Ortiz, we get a good comedy duo with them. I mean, the way Ortiz was selling last week, it was crazy.
Oh yeah, the orange juice.
Yeah.
He was doing the Vince when they Stone Cold did the beer bath and Vince was swimming in the beer.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing. Well, Mo to the underscore, the patrons here, definitely, and myself, appreciate that recap of Slammiversary. I mean, the wrestling promotion that has infinite lives, TNA, still up and kicking. It looks like they had a heck of a show, so hopefully that gives them some.
It was something good to watch, because, you know, don't get to see it every week,
right?
Used to, so something that we could watch, you know, on a weekend that was wrestling filled anyway. So
right, yeah. So hopefully it gives them some positive momentum. If you're interested after this little bit of time that Maurice has spent, you know, reviewing Access TV, same place that New Japan Pro Wrestling used to come on. You can find Impact on Tuesday nights. Is it 10 or is it 8 that they come on?
It's 8. They come on 8. It's on right now. So, okay. So if it's Tuesday night, whatever you hear this, it's Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock.
All right. All right, Mo to the underscore Reese, thank you for that recap. And,
no problem.
You know, to continue watching that TNA, and this might be a regular segment on a dark match.
I don't know. That was just something. That just something just happened now. If they can make it interesting enough for me to want to tune in, then okay, we probably can work something out. But this one show, you got to be consistent, you know, with your product.
Right.